You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The scenes behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season, episode 106. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez. You could say the white-assed Drab T-Shirt. You don't have a red ass after Sunday's victory over the Commanders.
I know. I feel like my...
I let you get away with one.
You did let me get away with one. You'll never have an opportunity to spank my ass ever again.
Looking back on it, I have remorse. I should have known. Because number one, you know everything about the Seahawks, and you knew that they would win that game. Maybe you didn't know it was going to be as close, but you knew they would win the game. But I'm angry at myself because you
and I took advantage of you.
You took advantage of me, but I let you take advantage of me because you know me better than I know myself.
Mm-hmm.
You dangled. The phrase cream pie basically had me in blinders. It had me thinking irrationally.
The word cream pie is the trigger for you.
It is.
What do you call that? It's an aphrodisiac.
Okay. It had me.
I say cream pie and you get all tingly inside.
Yes. There's something else inside.
Yeah.
But you had me. Starstruck, I guess you could say by that word. You had me in La La Land. I wasn't thinking rationally. I had delusions of grandeur.
I still think it was a good bet and a fair double or nothing. I mean, the Seahawks almost lost.
It was fair. Hey, did you have any kind of? Were you nervous at all? Like when they went down there and scored the first touchdown? Were you nervous?
I was. I just didn't enjoy it. I don't know if nervous. Maybe nervous is the right word. Not that I cared really if the Seahawks lost. Like that was going to ruin my day.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like you'd be angry. You'd be angry for a couple minutes, and then the loss would just go through you.
Yeah,
but the game wasn't enjoyable because you knew that there was ramifications.
First off, I hate playing the Commanders every single time because
Hey, welcome to my world.
I know.
I got to play them every year in the dumb preseason.
Well, the preseason, but it feels like we play them all the time now. And just the twerps come out of the woodwork.
I know. They know nothing about just your team and the franchise and what you do.
Yeah, 100%.
And they talk in generalities and have no specifics to back up any claim they have.
So then I hate losing to them, but more so the bet. I just didn't want to, I don't know how to say this, be reduced to bending over and letting...
It was humiliating.
It was humiliating, yeah. And I knew it would be humiliating. And I'm all for bits. I like bits, but... Also would have hurt.
The pain factor.
Yeah, the pain factor a little
bit. I'm not going to lie, and I told Drab this on Monday, that if I were doing the paddling, I was going to do the old dazed and confused bit where I wind up and I just touch his butt for a big letdown.
Uh-huh.
Because we are brothers in arms, and I wouldn't do that to your booty.
Well, my booty is a piece of work. It's it's been talked about. Can't be destroyed. So you would have done like on one of those penalty kicks in soccer instead of just lob it over the goalie.
Kind of what I would have done. Right. I would have had you gripping the table on a soft touch. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting weak in my older age.
Well, here's what it was hardly referenced. On Monday and going forward, like it was so close to being such a big deal, but come Monday morning, it was barely even referenced because I guess the bigger deal was that they lost, and the spanking wasn't going to happen.
You know what? This is what I wish could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that we could have talked you into like some sort of a moral victory type thing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was a moral victory. They almost pulled it out. So can we almost spank you? Something along those lines. We could have had something like that. Maybe I'm just dreaming.
I think you're dreaming. We already used that while you're moral victories.
Moral spanking Monday.
I said I will never be talked into something like this ever again. But I will let
you will.
I don't know if I want to do the spanking bit, but
you think if there's a Ravens Seahawks Super Bowl, we're not going to do anything.
Well, I don't think I have to worry about that. But maybe the Commanders sneak into the playoffs.
No, I said Ravens Seahawks Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, the Seahawks aren't going to the Super Bowl. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I gotcha.
Ravens might, but all for naught.
All for nothing.
I guess that was the nothing.
It was a big nothing burger.
People were excited though.
Yeah, that's true.
On Sunday,
I know. Going back, I wish I had just taken the spank.
Of course you do. Yeah.
In hindsight,
2020.
You know how bitter you'd be if they ended up winning and I took my spanking and went home and you had your chance to wiggle out of it.
Yeah, 100%. But it didn't work out that way. So I get off scot-free.
You do get off scot-free. Congratulations.
Thank you. All right, so next week is Thanksgiving week. We're not going to do a show next week. We got too much stuff going on. And actually, I think on Wednesday, I'm leaving like right after the show as well. So
yes.
I got to go to my kids' Thanksgiving, mom day.
I feel bad because I went back and looked at it. Typically, we did a Thanksgiving show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we've talked about Arlo Guthrie 10,000 times on the show. You know, just go revisit it. Right? We'll talk about our sides.
Yeah.
I think I gave
it's
Drab
evergreen content.
Yeah, I think I gave Drab a cheesecake one year.
You know that Awad yelled at me last week because we talked about Christmas on the show and that he was upset that Thanksgiving isn't getting its shine. And I said, I think we talked about Thanksgiving.
We talk about Thanksgiving all the time.
That's how it started.
Yeah. That too. You know what it is weird is I think we talked about how Thanksgiving gets skipped over and then we immediately skipped over Thanksgiving to talk about Christmas.
The base Christmas. Yeah. Well, that was, that's what interested us this past week. It was left in the binder.
Yeah, in the binder.
Did, there were some, what was the Gen Z topic you wanted to bring up today? It was like barstool thing
or
something.
Yeah, I saw KFC ranting and raving about some comedian who does this bit about Gen Z. Millennials. Millennials are like the older brother of Gen Z, and they don't understand mm-hmm. why Gen Z like categorizes millennials as these old
boomers.
They're basically calling millennials boomers
mm-hmm.
when millennials are like the older brother of Gen Z. And then KFC went on this whole thing about how millennials are the best generation because they bridge the gap between old and new, how we can still kind of relate to the Gen Zers, but also like I think KFC's point was we navigated the waters of internet porn, but we can still tell you what it's like off with a Playboy.
Okay, that was his connection between the two generations.
Yeah. That was his big selling point.
I don't know. I sometimes I dislike the the woe is me, we had it so much tougher than everybody else. I don't want to be the old guy that's lamenting about how much easier kids these days have it, or how much better we have, or what losers Gen Z or alphas are, or whatever they're called now. I don't know. I mean, we do always say, though, that the 90s was the best generation.
Well, it is the best generation ever.
More so than the you know, what do they call him? Tom Brokaw's generation. He calls it the world's greatest generation.
Oh, the World War II donks.
Yeah,
that's the donks. Yeah. I don't know. What did they call them?
I think they just call them the greatest generation.
I know they have a specific name. I know they have a specific name. It's going to crush me now.
Everyone is. Has their flaws, and everyone has good things about them.
Well, no, everyone wants to be the greatest.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Everyone that's wants why, the that's pat
why
on
every,
the back.
That's why every millennial will always say, oh, well, our generation's the greatest. And that's why boomers will say, wait up, Sonny, you didn't serve in World War II. And then you have Gen Zers that are saying we're the up-and-coming revolutionary.
Everybody thinks they're the up-and-comer. You know how quickly that goes away?
Yes. Now you just end up being old trash.
Yeah, I mean, we were the Facebook guys, yeah, and the guys wearing the hoodies, the guys shaking things, everything up.
Yeah,
and,
we were the disruptors.
Right. Who cares?
Now my knee's blown out and I can't do anything.
Right, nothing matters. Yeah, the boomers will be dead soon, we'll be dead soon, and you'll be dead soon. That's how it all works out. So just enjoy it while you have it.
Yeah. I don't know. I sent that to you, and then you were immediately disinterested when you saw a woman screaming.
Well, yeah. Well, you said it was a woman comedian who's going viral. And
she was shrieking.
She was screaming into the microphone, and I just didn't have the time for it that early in the morning. I was saving my ears for JP's flaming about Denny Abdia later in the day.
That was a weird bit.
Right. All right, so what do we want to get into today, Valdez? You want to talk about...
Hey, I want to...
You know what? We can talk about that generation thing. JP did have a good topic earlier in this week about Mike Towers. Is that his name?
Yes, Miguel Torres, Mike, a.k.a. Mike Towers, the Puerto Rican rapper
right.
at MGM.
And JP, you know, he kind of had an interesting thought about, is it okay to like new music when you're not in that demographic?
I think JP felt like a deer in a headlights situation because he stayed the night at MGM, and I think he saw all of these young people, and I don't know if he was interested in Mike Towers or like he wanted to go to
well
the
he's
concert
just interested
or felt,
in
or
proving
sheep,
no sheepish. he's interested in proving his Latinoism. Is that a word?
I would say Hispanic heritage. He's very prideful of his Puerto Rican heritage.
I
it's a combination of that. I feel like it's not only the Puerto Rican heritage, but I feel like JP is desperate to feel young.
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe not be young, but maybe feel young.
You have a tinge of that.
Kind of. I would say I have definitely have kind of a tinge of it, but I don't. But I know. I would say this. I know my lot in life. I know. I will never have those days back ever. But JP. I guess maybe he's trying to relive it. I don't know. I can't. I'm not a psychologist, although we do a lot of armchair psychology on the show.
Well, JP only wants to be hip about certain types of music. He doesn't care about.
Yeah, that's also
Dua Lipa.
That's a great point. Is that he's interested in exploring that. But why is he not interested in exploring? You know, Spice Ice, like he likes to call her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So why are you going down the wormhole of investigating Mike Towers, Miguel Torres, but you're not interested in going down the rabbit hole of what Ice Spice is singing?
Well, what I think was kind of interesting about it is that he was more so talking concerts, right?
Yeah.
And can you go to those concerts? For me, everyone's going to identify most with music from probably their late teens to early 20s period of their life, right? That's when everyone's favorite music is from the age, mid-20s, like 18 to 25. Anything that happened in that era when you were late high school and going through college, early adulthood, that's the music that for whatever reason, I don't really know why it is this way, that everyone identifies with that.
I feel like that's when you're listening to music the most. You know, like,
why? Well, I mean, you still listen to music.
I definitely listen to music.
Right. But your favorite.
I don't. It's harder for me to discover, I guess, new music now.
Well, it's just because you're around people and those people talk about music. Like,
no. I will say this. When you get to your 30s, you're not necessarily finding new artists. You're more so finding new genres. Like, if you grew up listening to rap and pop music, I feel like you're finding country in your 30s. If you're growing up listening to country, I feel like maybe you're finding more so alt rock, 90s rock in your 30s.
Well, a lot of it has to do with you're trying to stay cool when you're in that age, right? So you're constantly talking about what's cool or what's on trend, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you're that age, you have to know what people are like. That's what people are talking about in the locker room or in the hallways at school.
You mean when you're 18?
When you're 18, right?
I would totally agree.
You're listening to all this terrible music.
Yeah, you don't want to be embarrassed because the cool kid at school knows a song and you have no idea what that song is.
And that's where a lot of it comes from, right? Yeah. So you're constantly listening to music and you're trying to figure out the next thing, the rap beefs or whatever is going on. You listen to so much terrible music. Yeah, you think it's good.
You know how hot the Nas versus Jay-Z beef was back in high school. That was hot.
Right. I shouldn't, like, Joe Budden. Like, I should never know who, like, Joe Budden is.
Yes, right? Yeah.
But for some reason, I do, because he was involved in rap beefs for 20 years ago.
You should not know as much as you do about Ja Rule against 50 Cent.
Yeah, Source versus XXL.
Yes.
All right. But now, as you get older, you're more comfortable in your own skin. You're less trying to keep up with the Joneses and that aspect of knowing what's cool.
Yeah. And also think about it. The amount of free time you have at that age where you're able to explore different music.
Right.
And go to a circuit city and look at all the new arrival CDs and stuff like that.
Now, look, I will say when I fire up Spotify, right, probably 90% at least of what I listen to is music from when I was 18 to 25, right?
Yeah.
Old music that I identify with and I know all the words to. And I've gone on the record many times. I don't like music. It doesn't motivate me. But I know, like, sometimes I'll listen to it.
Right.
But very seldom I will listen to new music. And it's not just because it's all garbage. I don't think that. You just don't connect with it, right?
What are you, exactly. What are you going to do if you discover a new artist or new song that's out?
Well, I'll listen to it. And I do like, sometimes I'll like, what I won't want to do is go to a concert and hang out with those people.
Oh, I totally.
That is where I would draw the line. Like, so there's a new song that would come out. Say, who's a new artist? Oh, Doja Cat, right?
Yeah, okay. Doja Cat.
I can hear a Doja Cat song and like it and say, well, that's good music. Now, my friends aren't talking about it, and so it's not building. There's nothing more to it other than saying, oh, that's a talented artist. But I would never go to a Doja Cat concert because I don't want to hang out with a bunch of 20-year-olds anymore.
Also, like, if you went to what's the big Chicago concert? Was that Lollapalooza? If you went to Lollapalooza, you would go there to go see the headliners that you know. You're not going to there to see the...
Discover new music.
To discover,
go to the second stage.
Going to the second stage to discover new music. That's. I guess we don't have time for that.
I don't have time for that. I have time for nostalgia.
Yeah, I got time for the hits. Play the hits,
and that's about it. But mostly, I don't want to hang out with 20-year-olds.
Well, that too. Yeah.
I don't want to go. I don't want to dance with. I don't want to jump up and down. I don't want to. I just want. I'm old. This is what happens. You just change. I don't know what it is.
Uh-huh.
You just feel different. I want to hang out with 40-year-olds or 35-year-olds or 45, yes. Like in that range for the most part.
Yes, and remember my hot concert take, you are not allowed to sing.
That is your hot concert take.
You're kind of like me.
But what would you do? See, this is the problem. Like, so say Valdez, my wife leaves me, okay?
All right.
And I'm single again, and I need to, and there's a beautiful, blonde, buxom woman who wants to date me, but she's 22 years old.
This Drab's dream, by the way.
You know, no, the more I think about it, this is actually not my dream anymore. Okay. Because I don't want to hang out with 20-year-olds.
Yes, you have nothing
when
social.
They say you have nothing in common.
Yes, you have nothing emotionally and socially in common.
No. It's not that I can't hang out with one 23-year-old. Okay, I can. And if you're hot,
I can definitely hang out with you.
I don't want to hang out with your friends. I don't want to go to concerts.
I don't want to be stuck in a group with you.
Yeah, I don't want to go smoke hookah at the Middle Eastern cafe with you. I'm old, and so I want to do old man things. Uh-huh. Like watch college football and sit on my couch and gamble. Okay.
Hey, let me tell you something. As someone who's been laid up, mm-hmm. sitting on your couch all day, not that fun.
Not that fun. It gets boring.
In theory, it's great. Not that fun.
You know who I like, Valdez?
Who?
Me. I like entertaining myself. Whether it's
easy to entertain yourself.
Yes. Whether I'm over socializing. With
What about the person who says, Drab, going to concerts, it's awesome, it's fun, and you like the music, but also you got to go for the experience. What about those people?
No.
It's an experience. Going to see or listening to Garth Brooks is cool, but when you're in Baton Rouge and he's causing an earthquake he's reading on a seismograph, going to see Garth Brooks when he's singing Callin' Baton Rouge, that's awesome. You got to go do that.
Okay, well, I like experiences, but I don't like musical experiences. I could never go to another concert for the rest of my life.
All right, well then let me.
Even though I'm desperately trying to go to the Creed concert at Jiffy Lube Live with some of my old friends, I'd be perfectly happy.
Well, let me ask you this: what about if it's a small venue concert?
No, even worse, hippies, craft beer, no.
So, like, instead of Jiffy Lube, you go see someone at, I don't know, maybe even smaller than the Anthem.
Like Jam and Java in Vienna.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big Vienna guys. You go to Jam and Java.
Uh-huh.
Intimate show. 150
But I wouldn't know the artist.
People. Just say it's a big time artist. It's not Creed, but it's Scott Stapp unplugged at Jam and Java with 150 people.
All right. I'd do that. Hey, absolutely.
Hey, do you know what the greatest musical performance is?
That's
right up your alley. And I figured this out after listening to what you want and what you don't want.
All right.
Drab is a big cover band guy.
I do like cover bands. Who doesn't like cover bands?
because they play it. They'll play Everything You Know.
Sounds the same.
Sounds the same. Yeah. It's always in a small venue.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to deal with hooting and hollering and screaming people. And you know what? If you give them $5, they'll play exactly what you want.
I do like cover bands, yeah, because it sounds the same. And I don't need to a meet and greet with a big star.
And you know what? Maybe they'll play something you haven't heard in a long time.
I think you might be onto something.
Drab's a big cover band guy. You can sit in the privacy of your own little area. You can enjoy the music if you want, or you can stare up and look at a TV while you're at the bar, so you don't have to listen to them. You have an option. You can do things on your own time. And then all of a sudden, if he's playing My Own Prison, you can turn around and enjoy the music.
All right, so I think you're onto something. What about Parker McCollum, though? All right. You guys have been talking a lot about him and country and new artists. And I'm going to throw Jelly Roll out because Jelly Roll is 40 years old. How old is Parker? 25? Something like that?
Something like that. I would say mid to late
20s. Zach Bryan.
Oh, Zach Bryan. Hottest guy in country.
Okay. So you have these young guys. When you went to see Morgan Wallen.
Yeah.
Were there people 40 and above there?
Yeah. The age range of Morgan Wallen was you had 16-year-olds all the way to 60-year-olds.
Why is that? Why does country separate themselves?
I don't know.
I mean, like if you go to, maybe if you go to Kanye, but if you go to a who's a popular young hip hop artist? Under 30.
What about the baby, little baby?
Okay. Or no, Travis Scott.
Travis Scott.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to go to one of his concerts.
Okay, there's not going to be anyone over the age of 40 at a Travis Scott concert. Travis Scott, just as famous in his genre as Morgan Wallen is his.
I would totally agree.
Why does country span more decades?
I don't know. Maybe the message is different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because there's something about, because I guess sitting around drinking a beer with your friends, that can resonate with people who are 21 all the way to 51. Is that a great explanation?
It might. I don't know. It's just a slower pace of life.
You know,
that fishing, country
fishing.
Speaks to
more people than I don't know. What does Travis Scott rap about?
I'm not really sure.
Getting stacks.
Right. Getting that money. Yeah. Getting that bag.
Yeah, get the bag.
God, we sound so lame right now. I don't know.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
There's a hint. We love nostalgia. I think every country artist and every country song has some sort of bit of nostalgia.
Tradition.
A way of life.
The way things used to be.
Yeah, I remember when type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's why you're able to get that big gap between ages at Morgan Wallen.
All right, I like it.
That's the best explanation I can give you.
I think I would have fun at a country concert, but I'm a Toby Keith guy.
I know.
I would have fun at a Toby Keith
concert.
Are you
in love with Toby Keith concert?
For me, that's who I identify with most, for whatever reason. Morgan Wallen, I can have fun at probably any of those. I don't know if I had fun at a Travis concert. I don't think I would.
Let me ask you a question. If we're lucky enough, mm-hmm. and Jim Van Stone gets us Zach Bryan tickets, hottest ticket you can imagine at Capital One.
Yeah.
Would you go?
No.
Because you would feel sheepish about enjoying it, or?
Well, I just don't know. I just don't know his music, and so I'm not yearning at all to see Zach Bryan or Morgan Wallen. I know that might sound crazy, and it's not that I dislike those guys. I'm not familiar.
You're not familiar. You feel like you wouldn't enjoy it. You feel like you're discovering it when you would want to enjoy it.
I would be more open to Zach Brown Band. For some reason, I like Zach Brown Band a little bit because I know those three hits they got.
You know, Chicken Fried.
They got a song about like toes in the sand or something like that. And then there's another one that I know too. Zach Brown greater than Zach Bryan, in my opinion. You think Chicken Fried isn't a smash hit?
Yeah, it is a smash hit. I will play it every summer.
Yeah, I don't know. Good. But JP he's trying to, for whatever reason, he's trying to be young, be the young man. He needs to know his place.
Do you think, this is awesome. I want to know how old is his cousin or is his nephew that he was texting? Cause I think that has something to do with it.
Family.
But yes. Is that he's trying to connect with the Puerto Rican side of the family. So like that's why he's reaching out to ask about Mike Towers.
He's got that Latino guilt where they're very close to their family. They feel like they can never do wrong for their family, and so he needs to be find things to connect with his family with. Is more like all his family is their identity together.
Maybe
I think I'm onto something there.
You might be onto something. All right, today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't Sleep supports me, supports Drabby, supports this show, Bit Season. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use that promo code Bit Season for 10% off every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. We love Mike. Monday, I took Mike's car back to him. I appreciate him letting me use it for a loaner.
Are you sad that you got rid
of
the Cherokee?
Yeah, I finally got my key made for me. By the way, it's the biggest ordeal in the world. Don't ever lose your key. I bought Apple AirTags, so I got that all squared away.
I thought you should. I told you make an offer to buy that car from Mike.
I should have done it. It's a nice car. I miss backup cameras.
Yeah, I told you. Once you go get them, you're screwed after that.
I miss backup cameras.
Right.
So thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. I had to park it in his driveway. Hey, you know what I also did? I refilled the gas tank.
Well, if you would have brought that back on he should have you would have to cancel the don't sleep endorsement.
The biggest scumbag move in the world is letting me borrow that car for basically a week.
Absolutely.
Also, keys never found, lost forever,
gone, chopped up in the lawnmower.
I think they are. I think they're in a billion pieces on number 10 at Hidden Creek,
or they're in the bottom of your golf bag.
I swear to God, I've checked that 10,000 times.
God, how angry would you be if you found them?
Oh, you have no idea.
Yeah.
I would. I'd be so bitter.
Right.
It's been hell on earth. The key saga.
Well, I'm glad you got it all sorted out. It only took 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. That's the worst part. Yeah. Is this whole thing, this whole drama has been a 2 week odyssey.
Right.
Hey, speaking of sucky, when we come back, we got a couple things we're going to talk about. One thing that's been sucky is my knee injury. I've been dealt deuce seven over and over and over again for the last couple weeks. So we'll get an update with that. And then also I want to do an update. It kind of fell by the wayside, but Drabby hasn't had a soda in what, 80 days?
No, not a soda. I tried clearing that up on the air. I haven't had Diet Mountain Dew in 66 days.
Drab hasn't had a Diet Mountain Dew in 66 days. Mr. Willpower over there. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
All right. And EB's fascination into my body.
Yeah. He's taking a liking to your body.
I know. All right. We'll get into that. Stick around.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Bit Season, second half of the show here. And this portion of the show, I want to remind you guys, is brought to you by our friends at Crab Sports. Mm. The Jumbo Lump Parlay is brought to you by Crab Sports, Maryland's local sports book. All right, so what are we going to do this week, Valdez? I know last week was loser.
I'm starting to get hot, though.
Are you? You've won two in a row?
I won. I hit the Ravens over 2.5 total touchdowns. Right. That was plus money the week before that. I hit as well.
So do you know what it's called if you hit it this week? That's called a winning streak.
All right, three in a row.
Let's go three in a row.
I'm going for three in a row. My play for this week for the Jumbo Lump Parlay, brought to you by Crab Sports, is Maryland plus 19.
Oh, wow.
All right. Stay with me here. This is a situational play. It's a hold your nose. You got to do it. Drabby.
Those are the kind of bets I like. Hold your nose.
Speaking of holding your nose, Drab's been doing it in the producer studio all day today.
Maybe we'll talk
about that after the Jumbo Lump Parlay. But it's a hold your nose play. Full situational Maryland Terps backing here. Look, I know Maryland is not as good as Michigan. I know that they're probably going to lose to Michigan. There's no hope in beating them at Bird Stadium or SECU Stadium, whatever you want to call it now. But Michigan just got done going on the road to beat Penn State. All right? They have their Super Bowl next week with their head and then celebrating their head coach, Jim Harbaugh, basically dying on the field after Penn State's win. This mm-hmm. is the perfect sandwich spot. Drab knows all about sandwiches. All right. This is the letdown after the Penn State game, before the get up before Ohio State game. This is a sleepwalking game for Michigan. This is Maryland's biggest game of the season. This is a legacy win for Loxley and Talia if they can get it. So I just think the effort for Maryland's going to be there as opposed to Michigan. Michigan's going to be very vanilla. You saw it against Penn State in the second half where all they did was run Blake Corum to the right, run Blake Corum to the left. It's going to be that type of game. So I think Michigan wins, but I think Michigan wins only by 14-19, way too much with the look-ahead game sandwich spot for the Wolverines.
All right. Well, let's hope that hits. I'm looking at college football as well. I think I lost last week, but I'm going to focus on the Washington-Oregon State game Saturday night, 11:30 at Research Stadium in Corvallis.
Game day is going to be there, right, Drab?
Well, that's a joke. That's a whole other thing. No offense to anybody, you know, JMU Dukes out there, but there's no way, and I wish they'd go to JMU, and I just wish should have been a different week. The fact that they are too embarrassed to go to the Pac-12 in Oregon State and talk about what's really going on when you have two top 10 teams playing each other is a whole nother thing. But Washington versus Oregon State, this line has moved a ton. It's all over the place. But we're going to settle in on Oregon State right now, Valdez, yep. is a 2.5-point favorite. It just keeps going up and up up and up.
Corvallis, hard place to play.
It started. Washington State was favored in this game. Nothing has really changed that much. Other than just the money's coming in on Oregon State, but we're going to stick with the Huskies in this one. We're going to take the Huskies money line. We're just going to do plus 112. That's easy money, in my opinion. There's just no, I mean, Oregon State should not be 2.5-point favorites.
The
talent is not there. They're very good at home. They're very well coached. They have a great running attack. They will stay in the game probably, and Penix hasn't been as good as he was a few weeks ago, but They're not in the class that Washington. This is just screaming off to me. So I'm going to ride with the Huskies, number 5 team in the country. Haven't lost yet this year. I don't think it's going to happen on Saturday night.
Well, there you have it for our jumbo lump parlay. We have the Washington Huskies money line. You said money line?
Yeah, I'm going to take the money line.
Yep. And then Maryland, the Terps, plus 19 against Michigan.
All right, Crab Sports is up in their game with a $500 first bet promo for new customers. If you haven't done it yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Place your first bet up to $500, and if it loses, Crab Sports will pay you back in a free bet so you have a second chance to win. Of course, terms and conditions apply. Hey, guys, please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER 21 plus. And when you sign up, just use that promo code BIDDIES in the app store.
Yeah.
All right.
Get the app, and then not only the jumbo lump parlay, but they got a bunch of other boosts in there too. Just, we love Crab Sports.
All right, guys. All right. So let's get into, you know, I want to talk about what's making me feel uncomfortable is that I wish EB would stop bringing up the me working out. It's tilting me, and because I've told him before, I don't really like talking about it. There's no great content that I can give about it because I'm working out. I hate people who talk about working out. I don't want to talk about working out.
See, you don't understand this. You're in.
You're not in
the club. No. You don't want to be in the club, but you're in the club.
No. I'm different than you who can't stop talking about CrossFit. First off, I don't go to CrossFit. I'm just doing some lifting at a gym. There's nothing interesting about it. Millions of people right now are working out, and I got 6 to 7 months to go.
I think a lot of people are invested in you because you made it a whole thing.
Well, when something happens, I'll let you know.
Everyone's enjoying the process.
You know, he keeps coming to me like, "Are you losing weight? Are you?" I don't know. It's a long grind. I'm day in and day out.
You're ripping on Eric, but this is partly your fault.
I told him to stop bringing it up.
No, it's your fault because
I think it's boring.
No. It's your fault because you made it a whole thing about how awful you felt when I took your picture. Remember when you were on yourself?
No, but that was
a lot of. I know, but he listened to that episode. A lot of biddies have listened to that episode.
I told him stop bringing it up on the junkies. This is different. Okay. It was a bit season thing. I don't want to bore 100,000 people with me talking about my workouts. To me, that's boring radio.
You're okay with him talking with you about it off air?
Yeah, but, I just don't want on air content. Okay.
Like,
there's
nothing on air content.
There's nothing I can really say. And when people talk about working out, it's boring to me. If he's really that interested,
do you know what?
And I blame Cork, our buddy Cork, because he's sending him DMs of lifting and stuff.
Hey, will you post a video of you deadlifting?
No, I'm not ready for that either.
Maybe
I don't want a bunch of Luke Thomases out there
critiquing your form.
Are you kidding me? That's the last thing I'd do. I'd rather get my ass slapped with a paddle and me working out.
This is what I think. I have a theory about this. You know how upset you've gotten about me and Eric's bond over golf?
Well, today was absurd. The golf sim talk for 12 minutes. That was absurd, and you know better.
I'm just appeasing him.
But appease him off air. I told you, it's so.
Don't blame me. JP's the one that brought up the TGL simulator league.
I know. You're making a big push. It was about simulators. Sims are big now. Let's talk about them.
He said they're big.
You were pushing it. I was saying right there.
Were you want me to be completely silent while no one else knows what Eric's saying?
Well, it was the entertainment page. We get back to the story.
Our bond over golf has upset you so much that Eric feels the need to find something to bond over you with, whether it's on air or off air. And conclusion that he jumped to was, I will just talk to Drab about his progress lifting. That is Eric checking in on you, finding something that you and him can have in common, talk about. That's your guys' thing. Just like Eric's swing is my thing, you deadlifting is you.
I got
Eric's
plenty
thing.
Of material to talk about. There's all kinds of similar interests that we have.
That's his big push.
I'll listen to him. I enjoy listening about his kids, his conspiracy theories off air. I'll listen to. I'll humor him, as he likes to say. We don't need to talk about Drab's workout routine on air.
But
off air, I guess I could even do it too. But
that's your guys' common ground now.
Well, I don't think he'd
that's
be
what he
out.
Well, that's what he's picked. He's worked out before. He has a long history of working out. 11/5/93. Never forget. That's the common ground. That's your bonding moment now.
Right. Well,
because notice he never talks to me about it. It's only you.
What do you mean? You got a whole segment on this show this week about your knee injury and how did it happen? Did it from CrossFit or from golf? About his knee injury that he's milking.
Why do you say I'm milking it?
You're milking it. I don't know why, because you want sympathy AD.
How?
You got this catastrophic Willis McGahee knee injury or something.
No. I want you to explain how I'm milking it.
I think you're injured. I think you are playing up the injury more so than it is.
How am I playing it up?
The giant brace that you wore in one day.
I brought it. I've had it this week.
Saying you can't drive.
Well, I couldn't drive. It still hurts to drive, but I'm trying to give context of how painful it is.
You know what I think? I think the key story dried up and you were looking for some new material. So how can I get another segment or sympathy on me or people Venmo me or something? I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. I think you did bump your knee or it's a sore or something like that. I don't know if I believed. I woke up at 3:30 in the morning.
I did.
Out of nowhere, this screaming knifing pain in my leg.
Oh, it was brutal.
That's not how I don't think that's how knee injuries work unless you tore it while you were sleeping.
I felt like Oscar Pistorius.
Okay.
I haven't asked for like a GoFundMe for an MRI. That would be the...
Well, yeah, it's probably coming.
No, it's not. I don't know. Plus, I'm not offering it up. They're asking me.
Well, you come in here in a giant brace the Kramer tight jeans walk throughout the radio station.
I hid the brace. I hit the brakes. Nobody on Monday, nobody knew besides Eric, who actually pays attention to me, knew that I had a leg injury.
I know. So you, they weren't noticing you. So then you had to get vocal about it and so start talking about it.
Well, no, they asked me on air on Tuesday.
All right. I'm saying.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why are you not sympathetic towards my plight? Don't you feel bad for me?
Not really. Not really. Not yet. If you get surgery, sure. But
I go under the knife, you have no sympathy.
I tore my MCL. That's what JP referenced multiple times. Nobody felt sorry for me.
I went on air to go rushing to the microphone asking for ADs. This has been off air. And they asked me how I did it.
The guys at the gym say you're milking it because you're trying to get out of workouts.
I miss workouts. That's all I want to do. The only things I enjoy in life, activity-wise, are my burn classes and golfing. And I can't do either of them. And it's killing me. It's depressing. My big day yesterday was returning T-shirts. I had shirts that were the wrong size. And so that was my big day out, my big task to do for the day, my big chore. I am uncomfortable. I am uncomfortable being home, sitting on the sofa all day, doing nothing. And you think I'm enjoying this?
I don't know. You're overplaying your hand a little early here. Okay. I've just got my eyes on it. I haven't made any final decisions on it.
Okay.
I say it's a possibility.
Oh, all right, all right. I can take
everybody
that.
Everybody loves ADs.
I will take that rather than you slandering me.
Okay, that's fair. I shouldn't do that. But my antenna is up.
All right, that's fine. Hey, do you want to hang out? You want to come over and hang out?
And do what?
I don't know. I got nothing going on.
And watch the Terps get boat race.
I got nothing going on. I have a hole in my sofa from my big fat ass sitting in there.
Are you worried that you're going to get big again?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's
my biggest concern in the world.
You've gotten so many compliments over the last few months.
And it's all going to go away.
So many, Valdez looks jacked.
Yeah.
If I had a dollar for every time I've heard someone say Valdez looks jacked,
how much weight have you lost? How much weight have you lost? And you're just immobile, eating like a pig because you have nothing else to do.
Right. Yeah, you get home.
That's how I occupy my time.
All right. Well, then I wish you a speedy recovery, Valdez, so you can get back to the gym.
Thank you. That makes me feel good. Do you know they're making a whole upper body workout for me?
Like an exclusive Valdez.
An exclusive.
So shoulders your traps and arms and everything. All right.
Yes.
You're going to do a bunch of skull crushers.
Drab thinks I'm Triple H in the wheelchair. Or not Triple H, Kevin Nash in the wheelchair.
You're going to
I'm ready to just stand up and start doing jumping jacks. Hey, I will say, speaking of health, I noticed under the radar that your crippling Mountain Dew addiction has been curbed. I do feel good about that,
but EB kept saying you haven't had a soda, and that's just not true. I mean, I'll have a soda. I've just replaced it with other things, but I didn't think at any point I would stop drinking Diet Mountain Dew, and I was probably a 0.01% Diet Mountain Dew consumer on this planet.
Speaking of milking it, you are definitely milking this whole Mountain Dew thing. You're acting like you're
no,
acting
I'm
like,
not.
No,
I'm,
yeah, you are. You're acting like you're in a 12-step recovery program, saying this is day 68 without Mountain Dew.
I had a crippling soda addiction.
I'm on day 74 without it. You act like you're in rehab.
Can I tell you actually that I got into it a little? I probably shouldn't share this, but whatever. It's about this topic. I actually was miffed. Got into it. It's not the right word. I was miffed at my wife when we discussed my soda recovery the other day.
Recovery.
Okay.
Soda recovery.
I'm in recovery. And
I'm in recovery.
I actually could not believe this. And sometimes, I'll just say this. This is why marriage is hard for anybody, because we're just two completely different species.
Yes.
All right. I don't understand women. I'll never understand women.
Yeah, men are from Mars. Women are from Venus.
Right. And maybe my wife's different. And there's probably ladies listening to this who say, I would never do that to my husband. But good for you. All right. And I don't know why this bothered me so much, but it did. So the other night, I actually was being a great husband. Went and got my wife, Panera. Okay. She was feeling a little under the weather, so I got some soup. And
well, let's also remember you like going to get dinner because you wanted to get away from your kids and wife.
My kids were already in bed, so it was extra nice by me. It was my relaxation time. And I come home, and I actually got a soda at Panera. Okay.
I got your meal.
Because they always say, oh, you want a soda for 25 cents more? And I got one. All right. No big deal. But I start drinking it on the way home, and I had like a headache. And I don't think it was the soda or the caffeine, because I'm still drinking energy drinks and stuff like that. But so my wife comes into the kitchen, and I'm like, hey, I don't like this soda. I was like, is there something wrong with it? Or maybe I'm just not feeling Diet Pepsi anymore.
Yeah, it's not a soda night. Here, you want it? Or something like that.
Yeah. And I said, by the way, do you know that I haven't had a Diet Mountain Dew in 65 days?
you showed your wife your coin that you have. Your 12-step coin.
My triangle. They get triangle. I'm almost to 90 days.
I'm on step 12. Apologies.
Yeah. So I said, you know, I haven't had a Diet Mountain Dew in 65 days. And, you know, I guess to her credit, she did say, that's great or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But I could not have turned a positive into a negative quicker. And I didn't even know what to say. I was so
you're flummoxed.
She said, how have you quit? Right. And I said, because Mike and the guys at the gym, Mike won't let me drink.
They've shamed you.
He shamed me into not drinking it. And
you are so impressionable, by the way.
I know. He's browbeat me into it, and I gave it up.
You finally turned the corner on just how awful the sodas are for you.
No. I don't care about that. He asked me not to do it. He's my trainer. He's taken all this time out that he could be doing other things. He's training me. The least I'm trying to do is respect his wishes as much as possible. So I gave up the Mountain Dew for 8 weeks. So we're well past the 8 weeks now, and I'm still cruising, right?
Uh-huh.
So she was like, why did you give it up? And I said, because Mike asked me to, and he's training me, and I had to respect that.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, well, how come when I asked you to stop drinking Mountain Dew, you didn't listen? Okay.
My jaw hit the floor. Okay.
Yeah. And this is where I'm a bad husband, or I just don't like, I don't know. Like, there's husbands who are so much smoother than me that would have been able to get out of it.
What do you even say in that situation?
I just looked at her and I said, well, because you're not my trainer. And I said, why did you ask me that? Like, why can't you just be happy that I did that without putting the attention on yourself and needing to feel validation for something?
All right, that's a wrong move right there.
Of course it was a wrong move. Of course.
I know.
I tried to turn it back around.
I didn't think about it.
And I was like, I said, Sarah, that bothers me. Like, you could just be happy for me without trying to get credit or be, feel bad.
That's something you say on radio. You had your radio instinct, not your husband instinct.
What would have a smart husband said?
Smart husband would have said, this is the perfect thing you said. You know, Mike got me started to not drinking soda, but I always remembered how you didn't like it, and that's always been in the back of my mind.
All right.
That's not bad.
But can I tell you what the honest answer is?
I know.
What the honest answer should have been?
That's great.
No, answer is, I don't care that you wanted me to drink drinking Diet Mountain Dew. Like, there's things that, other things you want me to do that I don't do or I'm not going to do. And there's things that you do that I wish you would stop ordering Amazon packages every day, right?
Oh, can you imagine if you said that?
But you do.
I know.
And I've asked you to stop, and it doesn't,
So just because I ask you to do something doesn't mean I'm going to automatically do it. I'm listening to you. I hear your wishes, but don't get offended. And then she was offended that I listened to Mike and not her.
That's what it.
Or
that's,
he,
that's,
you know, I did it for Mike. Yeah. I did it for Mike, but not,
not for her.
Her.
That's the main thing.
Marriage is impossible sometimes. It's not. It's just like the. You're just walking on eggshells, okay? Like, you don't know, like, anything's a booby trap. Everything's a booby trap.
Like Indiana Jones. You take the idol, and then all of a sudden a big bowling ball.
I know. It's like
a big boulder's going to come.
So, of course, in hindsight, it's like 2 days, 3 days removed. It's a stupid argument. There's, you know.
Has there been lingering effects of SodaGate?
Not really. I mean, I think I mentioned it last night.
Are you thinking of it more than she is?
Yes, for sure. Because of all the things that happen, all kinds of, you know, things that go on. And for some reason, that's been lingering longer for me. And I don't know why. Because I'm not a credit hog.
Like, no. Also,
I don't brag very often, right?
It should be a proud moment for you. This is a...
Right.
Soda addiction is actually kind of a real thing. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be soda. It can be addiction in any kind of thing. Addiction's hard.
Right.
So if you're addicted to Candy Crush or if you're addicted to soda.
But it could be anything. It was my moment. Let me.
You're right. It was your moment.
I don't even brag. Like, I'm not a braggadocious person at all. I feel awkward. Just like we were talking about the working out thing. I don't want to talk about my body or my accomplishments most of the time. But that was a small thing that I put out there. And it was overhand slammed back in my face about why I didn't listen to her. Marriage is so, it's just a game almost. Like, you got to figure out, if you don't, it's a game. You got to figure out how to play the game, because in the big picture, that's a stupid argument that doesn't mean anything, right?
No.
But it's, you constantly figure out what to say.
She's jealous. She's jealous of Mike.
She's jealous.
She's jealous.
A bit,
she's
probably.
Jealous of Mike.
Right.
You're spending these days with him. Maybe you're confiding in Mike.
No, and Mike doesn't get a lot of confiding. Don't give Mike that credit either.
I'm spitballing here.
Okay.
All right, but she's jealous of that. He's taking away from
from
husband time, maybe.
No, I think she likes it. I mean, she likes the fact that I'm eventually going to start looking better. You know, she wants a probably in shape husband. So I don't think she just.
Hey, are you on track? Are you on track to start having sex without your shirt?
No, that's like a body dysmorphia thing. Like, I've been, childhood trauma. Okay, there's no getting over that.
All right.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some husbands out there right now that know exactly how I feel.
Hey, I don't blame you.
It's a game. The whole thing is a game of trying to keep a balanced life.
Hey, I will
happy
praise
wife,
you.
Happy life.
Hey, I will
praise you. Remember that. Tattoo that on my forehead.
Yeah, I will praise you. You could have easily just attacked her and say, "I wish you would stop doing this."
I may have said that. I mean.
Oh, you did say that?
Well, I said, I ask you to stop doing stuff all the time. You don't listen to me.
Oh.
But that's what it is.
You
argument,
had a brain fart. You had a brain
no,
fart.
No, the argument that it was, we were already going.
Entering the highway
on that one. Like,
and you floored it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a big fight or anything, but it was like, it's a wasted 10 minutes of my life that I'll never get back. You know, and then an hour of watching Bass Reeves by myself in the bedroom after that. I should say the guest room.
You get a good night's sleep?
No. I've slept on the couch plenty of times, too.
Drab's been on baby duty at night for the past week.
Yeah. All right. There's a little. How did that come up? Oh, because we're talking about the soda.
Yeah, the soda.
Hey, what did you make of JP
bringing up, we're talking on Bit Season about another JP topic. That's two for two today for Bit Season. JP brought up the music thing, and then he brought up, you know, as everyone knows, JP loves to talk about his kids' activities. But
hey, he is coaching a lot.
Take a break.
I think Cakes was saying he's like Nick Saban.
He's more Nick Saban. Yeah. He does.
He's doing basketball, flag football, soccer.
I've been coaching for 20 years. I don't remember JP coaching basketball. Maybe he has before. But here's the thing. JP, I think, has to learn that he's too competitive for these little kids. He wants to dominate and wants to steal the ball and wants to embarrass these little kids. So
when JP mentioned how his team can't steal the ball or basically play defense.
He was flummoxed.
It's not how strange is that it is, but how can I play defense? To win,
to steal the ball.
If I'm not allowed to go grab it from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You could be onto something.
I think it's just his competitive edge that's coming out because he wants to dominate. He wants to run up the score. I know JP.
JP wishes he was the AAU team that pressed.
And I don't think he really cares about basketball as much as far as foundations. Maybe soccer he does. Him and his wife are big soccer people. So this time he just wants to win. He wants to crush the opponent with Isabella. And he needs to slow down. This is like his expectations for what first grade basketball is are all out of whack. I mean, I'm spot on when I told them the goal for these kids is to check their man coming down the court to realize what number he is and not lose them.
But I'm flummoxed because I'm trying to remember when I was young. Mm-hmm. We never had any of this crap when I was young.
You're also misremembering stuff.
I'm trying to remember like the good old
days. Doing the participation trophy bit.
I'm not doing
kids these days are wussies.
We had it
so tough when I was growing up.
Well, I just don't.
T-ball has been T-ball.
I remember T-ball. I remember T-ball. We were in the championship game in T-ball where we actually had a champions, the winner of the league. There's no winners of a T-ball league anymore. I played shortstop on my T-ball team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
All right? And I made diving catches. We had to throw the ball to first. T-ball is different. That's what I don't understand is, are these kids not athletic to where they can't dribble the ball up the court?
Of course they're athletic. They're just as athletic as you were. I think that there might be... I think when you're that young, we're talking 6-year-olds, okay? We're not even talking 8-year-olds. You have to put an emphasis on A, having fun so they like the sport, and B, just like learning the rules. It's all about the rules or the very, very basics.
Well, then how are you learning rules if you're not allowed to steal the ball?
The important rules. I mean, like... In football, you can't do things in football when you're young as you can do when you're older. Same with, I'm sure, in European soccer, there's different rules from when they're 6 to when they're 18.
Well, I remember playing basketball at 6, 7 years old, and you would get called for 3 seconds. I swear.
Okay. Maybe when you're 8 or something like that. You need to go. You go. Watch how bad these kids are.
I know how bad these
You've
kids
seen
are.
These
I've
refed.
I've ref.
If they dribble the ball, you're lucky.
I've refed these types of games.
Okay, you're
before.
Right. You are the childhood ref. You are the kids ref.
I am the kid.
You
ref.
Were calling. You were calling fouls and dribbles. And
I
all
called
that?
Fouls. I only called travels and double dribbles if it was egregious.
Right.
I was an awesome ref.
You didn't make yourself a big part of the game?
Never. Never. I had a great bedside manner with all the rowdy parents, too. I was awesome with it. I would throw my whistle at the parent and say, you want to get up and do this? Because I said, I'll still get paid.
Let me tell you, I will coach my kids when they get it in a few years, and we might be big-time losers, okay?
Well, you know what you need to do?
You need
to start... building the skills with them now, like all the ball,
of course,
handling skills.
Yeah. Well, we work on hand-eye coordination stuff all the time. That's probably most important. But I'm talking about winning and losing. I checked JP when I brought up the soccer has no goalies.
He had nothing to say about that. He's like, what's with basketball? You can't steal the ball. What kind of lame sport is this? Okay, Pele, I've seen all your kids' highlights of no goalie.
Is that where they have like the pop-up goal too?
Yeah,
it looks like a half moon.
The little tiny net and stuff. Of course.
Do you think the basketball is like on a reduced court? Because I can't imagine.
Well, elementary school courts are much smaller. And it's the Nubs basket and the lower basket with the low lighting. The lighting's always terrible in these gyms. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've already decided my kids are playing basketball.
Of course, soccer. Well, you love basketball.
Yeah, of course.
But what's the niche sport that you're going to have them play?
Tennis, probably, if I can afford lessons. I don't think I'm.
Are you gonna be?
Richard Williams.
Yeah, the Williams sisters.
I'm not good enough. A good enough coach. I have no grand expectations for my kids to be professional athletes. Just want them to have fun. We'll see where it goes.
And then maybe push them.
If
they're on the brink of college scholarship, maybe push them.
No, they'll have to be pushed along before that. I don't think you have to be just a silly athlete.
Let me ask you a question. Are you going to specialize them?
Not until they're sophomores in high school. Pete Carroll, my idol, says that he only drafts guys that played multiple sports growing up. Did you know that?
No.
He doesn't believe in one sport athletes. So if it's good enough for Pete Carroll, it's good enough for me.
Well, there is a thing called burnout.
That is true,
It's happening. It's becoming much more common in kids.
Yeah. You just want to... obviously, don't you really think it's good for kids to be playing baseball when they're 16 years old, 365 days a year?
No, that's what I did with basketball. I wanted to kill myself by the time I was a senior. Right. Not necessarily, but...
Just the
amount of camps, playing the same kids every except you're on different teams every year. The summer ball, the AAU ball.
What's a sport that you never played that you wish you did?
Football.
Oh, you are.
I did play. I played football my freshman year. Played freshman year of football. I broke my hand, and then I wasn't able to play basketball or do like. I couldn't try out for basketball, even though I was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I had to miss, like, the first practices for basketball. And basketball was my main sport. That's what I look forward to most. That's what I wanted to play most. So after I did that, this is our senior year, of high school. The big group of friends, okay? The big, all of us said, you know what? Let's all play football our senior year. We're gonna do this together. It's our last hurrah. We're in high school, we're seniors, why are we not? let's go play grab ass in the locker room and go play football.
Let's go around and dominate,
we're just God's gift to football. None of us ended up doing it.
I think
one person ended up signing up to do it, and he goes, well, I've already signed up, might as well play. And this should tell you how good our football team is. He was the starting safety.
Well, football is one of those sports where if you're just a sick athlete, that you can pick it up pretty quickly, or you can excel. Like, it'd be really tough for you to say, never play basketball in your life, and then try to go make the basketball team. If you're a great athlete, like you have to have
some sort of coordination or skill,
right? Like if you're a fast black guy and you know you're a wide receiver, you can make
or
it work.
You're a strong dude. You can. Yeah. They'll put you on the line, linebacker, tight end. They'll find a spot for you. This is why I wanted to play football my senior year as opposed to early on. I'll always remember the senior freshman. Rumble. It's called this the freshman rumble. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So
you beat up a bunch of 15-year-olds.
So at Chesapeake, you're Nubs, and you have to basically share the field with varsity and JV.
Yeah.
Except varsity starts like 30 minutes, 45 minutes earlier. All right. And so they're doing like their stretching, their breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
All right. While you're doing your warm up laps. So JV's basically in a line in their gear, while they're doing their laps around the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then the varsity is like in their squads.
Doing drills.
Not doing drills, but like doing their stretching.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
All right. Where they're doing like 1, 2, three,
jumping
one.
Jacks, yeah.
And they're clapping.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They're doing all that while you're walking around. And then the varsity coach blows the whistle as the JV team is running right by them. And they turn in unison and face you, almost like a military operation.
Okay.
And they start sprinting at you, and they pick off the freshmen one by one. They're like, they're coming at you like they're Ray Lewis, right? And then they
like it's a battlefield.
Oh, like it's a battlefield. And they're sitting there putting the crown of their helmet right in your sternum, and you're out of breath, laying with your back on the ground as they stand on you like they made the game-saving tackle.
What's the point of it? Sounds like it's harassment.
It is. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You go out there and you get your licks on the freshman. It's a welcome to high school thing.
I don't believe we had that, but I didn't play varsity football.
Everyone used to have that.
But I was on the freshman team, and I don't remember getting tackled by a bunch of grown men.
You don't remember the freshman rumble? Your school might have called it something different.
We called that hazing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, hazing.
Right.
No, our school was big on hazing.
You know what sport I think I could have been silly at?
What's that?
Hockey. Why didn't I never got a chance to play hockey. I was told it was too expensive for the equipment, so I was never allowed to play it. But you know, a bunch of weird kids always played hockey where I was from too. Like it wasn't the jocks. It was just they say
hey Twinkle Toes, you going to the ice rink.
I'm sure. I remember I brag about my floor hockey. Goal scoring record.
Yeah, you're like Yamir Yager in the floor hockey.
Yeah. All right. That's good.
Everyone tell Drab about the freshman rumble. Let me know about that.
We weren't aware.
And then the best part, well, not the best part, is everyone used to call out dudes by name. So, like, everyone knew that.
Myers!
Yeah.
Get over here!
Everyone used to know that the first Friday of the practice, it was going to be the freshman rumble. And so,
oh, my God. They were a week for the first week of being freshmen?
Well, the first week of football practice.
Oh, my God.
You would do two-a-days. So, you would do two-a-days in the summer.
Yeah.
All right? And the entire two-a-day talk, week of two-a-day talk.
You guys are looking forward to it.
No, you're not looking forward. Well, the seniors are. They say, they go, all right, Mike Kirkwood, I'm coming for you. I'm going to find you out on the battlefield.
What a horrible football program.
What do you mean? Jason Williams is going to say,
I'm going to just take a stab in the dark and say your football team sucked.
Of course it sucked.
Okay. Yeah, of course. You guys are doing that kind of BS.
You know what the receivers and running backs used to do?
What?
They used to run to the woods.
Smart.
They didn't want to take their licks.
Yeah, smart guy. Smart little kids.
All right, freshman rumble.
All right, I'll look into it. All right, guys, have a good weekend. We will see you back here on tomorrow on the Junkies and next week on Bit Season. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.